reading from over in the second book, 2 Corinthians, it is over in the 10th chapter. I want you to especially listen to this scripture, because this particular scripture is one of the most needful, I think, that we have in the Bible. And I think it would be well if we could listen to it and tonight really pay attention to it, because out of all the things that I say to you, I don't know of anything that I could say that you need any more than you need this particular scripture. At any rate, reading here from the 10th chapter, and I want to beseech you one more time to listen close, especially to the latter part of this reading. Paul says in the first verse of the 10th chapter, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in present am based among you, but being absent am bold toward you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some." Now, I want you to notice this. The minister sometimes is against people. I want you to especially notice it. He is for some people, he is against others. And Paul is telling him here, he asked him in one place, he said, "Would you that I come to you in meekness, or come to you with a rod?" And he says here, he said, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh." He said there's certain people that think of us just as fleshly beings, or somebody that's just of the flesh that's preaching and so forth. He said those kind of people are mistaken, and said, "When I'm among you, I'll be against those type people." Now he said, "I want you to recognize us as the ministers of God, or fear lest you get in trouble because you did not reverence the ministry." So he says, I want to read again, "But I beseech you," he's pleading with them here, "that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some." Now a lot of people say, "Well, what difference does it make, Paul, whether you're with us or whether you ain't? What difference does it make how you feel toward us?" Well, this is the difference that it makes. One time, Paul was trying to preach the gospel over there, and Simon the sorcerer, he kept on turning the deputy away from the faith. Paul just looked over at him and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, you'll be blind for a season." Peter spoke to Ananias and Sapphira and said, "You lied to the Holy Spirit." They dropped dead. And so it is. It means a lot. John said one time, the beloved disciple, he said, "If I come to you," said, "I'll remember a certain man who has been prating against the church and refusing the brethren." See, there is power in the ministry. The minister has power to do certain things, and even though you might not think he does, if he ever does turn to God and tell God to cut the tree down, you'll see how much power he's got. But now I want you to notice this. A good minister will hold on to a person just as long as he possibly can. But after a while, he'll get weary of it. Now, notice here, he says here, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now I want you to listen to me, children of God, and I want you to listen carefully tonight, that I speak to you in the name of the Lord, I speak to you in love. Now, for many years, God in this church has sent forth morning after morning. The gospel has been preached, but some of us are mighty forgetful. Somehow, we can't seem to remember from one meeting to another meeting the warning that the preacher has given us. We just can't seem to hold on to that warning for some reason or another. It seems that we're forgetful. But the Bible said to give, the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard. He said, lest at any time you should let them slip. That is, let them get away from you and you fail to remember them. He said, but seeing that the angels in heaven all received a just recompense of reward for every transgression. He said, the angels in heaven, he said, for every wrong that they've done, they received a punishment. Every wrong, they did not escape one wrong. Said, seeing that they received a just recompense for every transgression, he said, how shall you escape if ye neglect so great salvation? Now, I want you to really let this sink down in your heart, because you're being real forgetful hearers. And sometime the Lord is going to do like he did over in the book of Samuel. So you listen at me real close now, and don't forget to be a doer of what you hear. The Bible said, he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh them. So the Lord is telling us here, through the mouth of Paul, he said, every thought that you have, when you come into the house of God, that exalteth itself against the teacher, or the preacher, or against the knowledge of God, or against the moving of the Spirit, or against the order of the service, or against the singing, or against the inspiration. He said, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, he's talking about thoughts. You know, the minister, when he's up here, he perceives your thoughts in his spirit. Now, and if they're not holy thoughts and pure thoughts and righteous thoughts and submissive thoughts, then that means you've let a demon in. He says here, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. He said, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That it is our job to tear down the stronghold of Satan. And Satan's stronghold is your wild imaginations and your thoughts that exalteth itself against the anointing of God. For the carnal mind is, of course, not obedient to God, and it's not subject to God. When you come to the house of the Lord, then, of course, you're in the carnal mind, unless you prayed and sought God. And that carnal mind is not subject to the mind of Jesus Christ, the laws of God. Therefore, it is in direct conflict with the anointing or with the minister from the time it walks into the church until the time you leave, unless he wrestles and wrestles and wrestles and rereads and re-warns and re-chastens and all those things to overpower. So, I want you to remember this. Now you might say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? If any individual comes into the church with the feeling there ain't nothing there, that's carnality and it's a sin. If any individual comes into the church with the feeling, well, I don't guess we're going to have nothing tonight, that's carnality and that's sin. Any individual comes in the church with the feeling, well, I guess the preacher's going to rebuke us tonight, that's carnality and that's sin. If any individual comes into this house with wild imaginations and anything other than, I have, Bible said, enter into his courts with thanksgiving, his gates with praise. When you come to those gates back there, first thing you do, you check yourself and say, I'm going in here to be subject to the ministry. I'm going in here to be subject to the Holy Spirit. I'm going, regardless to what's said, regardless to how they act, I'm going in there to deliver my soul. I'm going in there to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let my thoughts be carnal or in enmity with God, but I'm going in there to praise God. If I've been upset with the children, upset with the wife, upset with the husband, I ain't going to take nothing like that in there. I'm going to get out of that. I'm not going to get edgy out here with the children, or edgy out here with the wife, and edgy with the neighbors, and edgy with myself, and edgy with the devil, and then take that kind of mind in the house of God, because if you do, God's going to get you for it. Don't do that. The Bible said don't give place to the devil, so don't come in the house of God with those kind of things. You relieve yourself of those feelings before you ever get here. Don't come here and cause the minister, every time he says something that's not just right, then your feelings jump up because you ain't got your body under subjection, because you ain't got your feelings under subjection. But that causes him to have a hard time. Don't ever come to the thought that he ain't going to say something that's going to cut you, because the first thing that he has to do when he starts preaching is to kill your flesh. That's his ordination, is to keep on cutting on you till he kills you. where you don't have no feelings at all in the flesh. That's his job. Every time he gets behind the secret desk, that's his job. If he don't do it, then he's slipped and he's not serving the Lord. That's what we're here for, to kill your old man out. That Christ, the one that never opened his mouth but stood dumb before his shepherds, that Christ might live in your life. You might fasten your hand to the cross, put the thorns on your brow, but it doesn't say anything. The mind of Christ just says, amen, so be it, Lord. God will be done. He doesn't buck up, doesn't run up and say, I don't like that, and I don't feel that's right, and I think this. He doesn't go home and pull his husband on the corner, wife on the corner, daughter off the corner, criticize and talk about it. He just accepts it just like it is. All right, now we've got our chart drawn here tonight. I hope that you've got your charts ready. And last night we had a real good drawing. And I really enjoyed teaching last night. Hope tonight that you can submit your spirits to the Holy Spirit tonight. The Word you can draw, and I might be able to speak with the mind of the Lord tonight and tell you something. Because I say tonight, as I have so many times, I as an individual do not have anything for you. I'm just a man just like you're a man or woman, and I don't know anything except what the Holy Spirit tells me. But since I am a minister, then he speaks through me to the people, at which I'm very thankful. I ask you tonight to let's get our minds out of the way to where it won't stir up my old car of mine, and to where my mind can be submissive to the Lord Jesus. Remember, the minister has to preach regardless. Whether you're receptive or whether you're not, whether he wars with you or whether you don't, he's still commanded to preach. So I ask you tonight to listen that I might teach you instead of preaching at you. Alright, notice here we've got our chart. I've got one circle here that I call the innermost circle. I tell you these things so that you can understand, and that way when I say something, it won't be confusing. This circle here is called the innermost circle when I'm teaching. And this circle here is called our inner circle. Now I might forget and make a mistake, but that's the way I always try to see it. And this circle here is called our outer circle. Now, maybe already you wondered why it is that I just kind of skipped about and I draw a line here and I draw one here. In other words, it's kind of just broken up. And what it is an imaginary line. That's what I'm trying to put in your mind, an imaginary line. Now, I've got three circles and I've got a line drawn right straight through it. At the top, I got a cross where it says Noah. At the bottom, I got a cross where it says Jesus. Down under the circle here, you'll notice, I got a little square like here, triangle sort of thing, and I got heart of earth wrote there. Three little circles, and I got gray, hail, and paradise marked. Now, I don't know where we'll get into that tonight or not, but anyway, I just marked it down in case we did. Around on the right side, I've got beginning with Noah, where Noah got drunk, and then Abraham, and then Isaac, Jacob, then the 12 tribes, then Joseph here, and then we got Pharaoh, where it says the good Pharaoh. Then we got Moses, then we got here, where it says bad Pharaoh. And then we got Red Sea. Now remember, this is B.C., before Christ. This is after the flood of Noah. And remember, a Pharaoh is just a title. You can have a dozen Pharaohs, and they rule from the same throne and so forth as the years go by. All of them can be called Pharaoh because it's just like the name Herod. Herod was a title of rulers. So Pharaoh is just a title for rulers, and numbers of them were called Pharaohs. But in Joseph's day, it was a good Pharaoh. In Moses' day, it was a bad Pharaoh. So then we see after Moses, we got bad Pharaoh, and then we got the Red Sea. Then we got the law marked between Red Sea and Jordan, because right below the law, we've got Jordan. Then we've got David, then we've got Solomon, then we've got Nehemiah. Alright, then on the other side we've got Pentecost, we've got 325 AD, which is over at Nice, the city of Nice. And then we've got the Pope written here. Then we've got VA here, which means Dark Age. This is in the AD, which is after the cross of the Lord Jesus. Then we've got here, we've got Luther marked right here. And then we've got over here, we've got the martyrs. And then up here we've got the ocean, and above there we've got Washington. And then of course we come back up to where we've got the flood march here. Now, I didn't put anything in here concerning the antediluvian time, which of course would I'd have to change my chart around a little bit to do that. Maybe sometime we will for your sake. But anyway, we're trying to get this in your mind in such a way to where it won't be confusing. So I just left this area in here because America comes in here after they cross the ocean. And that kind of gives you an idea of the garden experience because it's like going to Canaan anyway. All right, now then, sold and received. Here that I've got on the outer circle here, I've got an imaginary line drawn on the left side. And on the right side, it's my innermost circle that I've got drawn, imaginary. And the line coming down from cross to cross, top to bottom, it divides. So then we want to try to get into the thought tonight here. Now then, I'm going to ask you to do this with me tonight. It takes a little time for us to teach this chart. We just have to take our time and see what the Holy Spirit will open up. But in your innermost circle, I want you to do one thing for me. In the innermost circle, I want you to put right here, the holies of holies. Now draw it up close to the top here and save your room as much as you can, because if you don't, then you won't have room for your for the things that I'm going to tell you. Now, I know that some of you ain't got a chart, you haven't drawn a chart, and you're sorry if you don't, but really you ought to draw a chart because this is really the only way that you can absorb it like you need to. But anyway, if you haven't got one, I'm not scolding you for it. I'm just telling you the best way to get the all over picture. So then, in this innermost circle now, I want you to put your holies of holies right here in the innermost circle. And if you put that in there, then I want you to go out to the next circle, which is the inner circle, and I want you to put inner courts in this inner circle here. Not the innermost circle, but the inner circle. And then, after that, I want you to go out another step. And I want you to put in the outer circle, I want you to put outer courts in the outer circle. Now, you can see right off as we start teaching this that if you had your chart, you'd have more interest in it, because that would help to keep your minds occupied and keep it on what we're doing. Because I have to stop for them, and that causes you to lose out. Maybe I can feel your spirits dragging on me when I do that. You don't mean to do it, but I still do it, because you have to keep people's attention. You just have to keep your spirits doing something all the time and talking to them. So you just have to press in with it. Alright, then notice this now then. Here we've got the innermost circle, we've got the inner circle, and we've got the outer circle. Now, in the innermost circle, you're supposed to have holies of holies. In the inner circle, you're supposed to have inner court. In the outer circle, you're supposed to have the outer courts. Alright, now if you'll notice tonight with your charts, as you use your charts, or form this chart in your mind, if you'll place these things just the way I tell you to place them, then as you look at your chart, you'll find out that you're getting revelation immediately. As I start teaching, you'll just automatically find that you get revelation. I won't have to tell it to you, it'll open up to you. The mind of Christ will teach you, and you'll find out that you're in the mind of the Lord, and you'll get revelation. Alright, then notice this inner circle here. Now, I want you to put in this innermost circle, I want you to put Washington, D.C. In your innermost circle, I want you to put Washington, D.C. Then within your inner circle here, I want you to put United States. In the inner circle here, put United States. Then in the outer circle right here, I want you to put the foreign nations, or just put United Nations is the way we usually do it. Just put United Nations. Alright? Now that already, if you notice just with this, that you have already found out just in the moment I talked here, that we are likening this circle unto the United States. You can already see that, the United Nations and the Washington, because in spiritual revelation, that's the way the Holy Spirit gives it. Now, this circle is just like you cut a tree half in two, and you was looking down on the top of the tree. Because God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are three in one. Everything that you see testifies of God. Everything shows a three in one when you're working with God, because God is three in one. Alright, in the middle of this, where the innermost circle is, I want you to put spirit. In the innermost circle, I want you to put spirit. Then in the outer circle, I want you to put soul. Or the inner circle it is, not the innermost, but the inner. Then in the outer circle, I want you to put body. We'll line all these up together, natural, physical, and spiritual, to where you can get every bit of it and understand it. Alright, now then, you notice you got holies of holies here. Then you got inner court here. And then you got outer court, which takes care of the tabernacle that was shown Moses in the wilderness, which is the natural sense of it that's lined up with the G. Alright, then next you've got Washington, D.C., and you got United States. Then you got United Nations there, which takes care of the physical aspect of it. Then you've got spirit, soul, and body, which takes care of the spiritual aspect of it. God working in threes, every part is broken down into threes. And then there, just like you got three in your natural, three in your physical, and three in your spiritual, and all of them are clearly outlined in this chart to where you can clearly understand what we're doing. Now then, if you'll do this, you'll understand even better. Put in your inner circle right here, on your innermost circle it is, put in your innermost circle, put Protestant. Then in your inner circle, put Catholic. Then in your outer circle, put Jew. Alright, now then, we've got them all lined up and you can see kind of what we're doing here. Alright, notice here at the flood, after the flood last night, how many of you remember your chart last night was in a pyramid shape to where you had 2,000 years on each side of it? Every one of you remembers last night you had 2,000 years on each side of your pyramid. And I told you that it went all the way back to Adam, all the way around onto the millennium. Well, here the same thing is, except it's in circle form. And I've drawn it this way that I might explain something a little better. So then if you'll notice right here, now right after the flood, it shows where Noah was drunk. Right after the flood, and remember this, that this was a new world. Peter said the old world was destroyed with water, so this was a new world. Now then, after that came your second 2,000 years, which was blood, and that world was destroyed with blood. Jesus marked the end of it with blood, just like Noah marked the end of the first world, 2,000 years, with water. And then as this last one, when the millennium comes in, there'd be a spiritual thing and be a crucifixion of the spirit, which will mark the end of this last world of 2,000 years, showing God working three in one. Notice that the first was water, the second was blood, and the third was spirit. Not like in the last night unto baptism, for I said that in the first 2,000 years being water was likened unto the body, or the water baptism in Jesus' name. The second 2,000 years was likened unto blood, which was baptism of fire in the soul realm. The last 2,000 we lined up was typed out the Spirit, which was baptism of the Holy Ghost, where the Spirit fell at Pentecost. Beginning right along here, that brings us to the church ages that I've got marked right here. Notice I got the church ages marked here. Paul, Arenas, St. Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, and Graham right here. All the way around we've got these things marked. Now then, but remember that I spoke one time of taking this whole circle, or the triangle that we had last night, breaking it down into three parts, putting one part of it 4,000 years up into the cross, putting from Adam to the cross here, putting it 4,000 years, from the cross over to the coming of the millennium, putting it 2,000 years, and from the beginning of the millennium until the white throne of judgment came down our New Jerusalem, all the new earth that was to come in, putting it 1,000 years. And I likened it unto three baptisms because this, all of them was due to get a baptism apiece. One was due to get water, one was due to get blood, and one was due to get spirit. So then the first 2,000 years, we use it in types and shadows that they got a water baptism. But we have to break it down in the 2,000 year span to keep your types right in your mind. But if you apply it to 4,000 years on your first run, then you've got the first one was baptized with water over in the days of Noah. The second one was, which was the physical world. Notice the first world that was baptized with water was a natural water world of vegetation. I'll let you put that down to where you can understand it. Maybe I will in just a few minutes. The second baptism it got was the physical world, which was a baptism of blood. Then the third one that it gets is in the millennium, when God will baptize the whole earth with spirit, which is the angelic world or the spirit. I think we better take these three parts here, and well, we've already got body, soul, and spirit, haven't we? You can understand that by that we've got body, soul, and spirit. So you can see that the body gets water, the soul gets fire or typed out with the blood. And then, of course, the angel, which is the spirit of mankind or the angelic world, gets spirit. How many of you are listening to me tonight paying attention? Ain't much going up there. Couldn't be paying too much attention. All right, notice this now. Think about me, so you got body, soul, and spirit. Now, I don't think we've done this yet. If we have, you tell me. But if you haven't, we're going to run this Jew. Have we put Jew? Have we run it into three people here? All right, run it into those three people. You can see that each one of these things we wrote down separately applies to that individual. So then if you want to, you can do this. You can put on your innermost circle, you can put baptism of spirit. Just put Holy Ghost baptism if you want to, or baptism of spirit. Alright, in the next circle, you can, instead of putting baptism of spirit in your next circle, which is your inner circle, you can put baptism of fire. In your next circle out here, you can put baptism of water. That way we'll be sure that we'll have it right. Alright, then we'll start around here at Noah. And notice right here now, here is what we want to do tonight. We are working from the inside out and from the outside in. Now, with a Christian, in here is the kingdom of God. Right in the heart is the kingdom of God. I want you to reserve a little space, and I want you to put kingdom of God right in your inner circle, right here. Put kingdom of God right in your inner circle. Alright, now that is the kingdom of God right there, in your inner circle. Alright, now then, the battleground between the kingdom of God, which is here, and the kingdom of Satan, which is set up warring through the flesh, they meet. The battleground of it is in the soul right here. So you can put battleground right here in this one, in your inner circle. And then in your outer circle, you can put Satan's kingdom, and that way will keep us straight. Alright, notice this one thing now. Satan working through the five senses, taste, smell, and so forth, he comes from the outside, through the body, and he wounds the inner spirit in here by the outside. Man. In other words, if he can get you to smoke or drink, cheat, lie, swindle, commit adultery, love the things of the world, houses, land, cars, any of those things, he'll take your spirit into captivity right here. He woos you from the outside, works around here, and he keeps reminding you of these things that are of the flesh. Paul said, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. And he keeps wooing your flesh. You keep feeling something on your flesh that makes you want these things. Because he hovers over you just like the Holy Spirit did over Mary. And when he calls it to conceive of the Holy Ghost on the inside, the Bible said that we lust after the things of this world first of all. That's what we do. In other words, we see something, we begin to lust after it. Then the Bible said lust conceives. It conceives here in the heart. When lust out here it comes in, he said, though, abstain from fleshly lust which warreth against your members. When you let this fleshly lust out here begin to war against the members, Then from the outside coming inside you, you'll notice that as Satan moves the outside, then that is lust. We're drawn away of our own lust. Then when lust conceives in here, it becomes sin. And when sin gets started, then it becomes death. Now then, you can see here by the chart that Satan is outside, God is inside. And now, we might say this first. Before this comes about, Satan is inside because of the garden experience. He got inside. We'll take it that way first. Now, from here all the way around to here, Satan is on the inside of humanity. Now, God is projecting himself. I want you to get a thought here now. From here under here, God is projecting himself. He projects himself by letting Satan get into the created image or the temple of God, and knowing that Satan is the spirit of death. When Satan does this, he starts a long journey around here. I explained the other night that God put Satan in that body because he knows that Satan will keep on trying to get a hold of the things of this world until he gets to perfection in this world. I don't want to go into that tonight because I want that on another subject and another chart. But anyway, I want you to see that from right here all the way around the cross, God is projecting himself. And from here all the way around to here, God is not projecting himself. And in another chart one night, the Lord willing, will explain exactly what I'm talking about. Right here, let's deal with this first. All right, notice with Satan being inside, God being outside, all the way from here to here from the garden experience around here. Man being accountable from right here. From here all the way back to the garden experience, God suffered man to walk in his own way and did not charge him with sin because there was no knowledge of sin. And remember that grace right here comes 430 years before the law ever came over here. So around to here is 430 years because Abraham got the promise of grace 430 years before the law ever came. So we see that grace came first. Now this is the beautiful part of it if you can see it. Well, I don't want to get that right now, but we'll step back to it in just a few minutes. Let's take this first. Notice that Satan is inside and he is working against God, which is outside, trying to woo his creature to get back inside. Now the Bible said before, a strong man can spoil another man's goods. He must first bind the strong man. God will woo out here until he catches your natural attention. Now, then he'll come in here and he'll cast the kingdom of Satan out, set up his own kingdom. All right, and this is a beautiful thing tonight. If you can just get a hold of it and see it. Now then, Satan cannot come in and cast God out. But God can come in and cast Satan out. So then God, wooing the outside, he works through here. He comes in here and he casts his Satan out and sets up his kingdom. But remember, while God is wooing this outer man here, God can woo him and he can woo him to repentance. And that man can repent of his sins. And after he repents of his sins, he can turn away from his sins and still not be born again. I want you to get that thought tonight. He can be wooed out here. He can repent of his sins and be sorry, but he will not be born again. He can come to the house of God, and remember the gifts of God are not given through repentance. They are given by predestination, by foreknowledge, as I'd like to teach one night, if the Lord will help. But they're not given through repentance. Now, you've got to repent to be eligible, but they're not given through repentance. If God gave them through repentance, then everybody in the world would have to have the gift of eternal life because everybody repents at one time or another. God doesn't give them like that. They're given by foreknowledge and predestination. So this person can come in here, they can be wooed, and God can woo their spirit, and they'll get sad and sorrowful for their sins when they get in the presence of the Holy Spirit. They'll repent of their sins under just like you do, and the Holy Spirit will come down on them because of their repentance. They can shout and speak in tongues, dance about and do all those things, and still won't have the Holy Spirit in here. Now, this is the water coming down on the outside. We liken it to the antediluvian time back in the first 2,000 years from the garden until Noah. So then we see God showing it here to us that the rain coming on the just and the unjust, it's coming down on the unjust, and they do just like the just do. But now, notice that God still hasn't gotten here. When they go their way, then their nature, which is still in here, will reveal itself, and the nature which is in here, or the kingdom that is within here, will take them right back to the same thing. If it's the kingdom of God, when they repent, if they really got the kingdom of God within here, when they leave the church, this kingdom will say, visit the sick. It will say, pray. It will say, fast. It will say, study. It will say, get a vision for God. Do something for the Lord. It'll say, don't look at television shows. Don't read ungodly magazines. Don't get upset at the husband. Don't get upset at the wife. Don't scream out the children. All those kind of things, see. The holy kingdom of God within you will talk to this and bring this body under subjection to it. Because it is the mind of Christ and it is light. And the Bible said, you know a tree by the fruit it bears. And it tells us that we are partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. So we see here that if we got the nature of Jesus, which is the mind of God, the kingdom of light, then this kingdom right here counteracts the darkness that's coming from outside, wooing, trying to get inside. But if you've got the carnal mind here, which is called darkness, then this carnal mind here will war against the Holy Spirit outside. And even though the Holy Spirit might come down as a rain upon the unjust, yet when it gets outside of the church, then this same dark mind will say, why don't you go over here and watch your good television show? Why don't you read your good story in the magazine? Why don't you go to the library and get you a good book that might be interesting? Why don't you tell your husband you ain't going to do like that and you don't like that? Why don't you go contrary to the Word of God? In other words, constantly causing this individual to do the things contrary to God, and they can't do anything else because by their nature ye shall know them. The fruit tree is known by its nature. So then there's a continual warfare, the Bible says, between the body and the soul. And the reason is because in the body here comes Satan. God comes in here, so he meets God on the battleground of the soul, and the war takes place right here. Have you ever wondered why it is that bringing it up into a bigger thing to where you can see it's something that you're acquainted with? Now, that's speaking in the natural realm right here. That is, rather in the spiritual realm right here, a continual warfare between the body and the soul. In the natural realms, did you ever notice that there was a continual warfare between the Jews and the people of that day? Did you ever understand by reading the Old Testament that they were continually warring against the Philistines? And the picture of the people that is shown and pictured in the teaching of the Old Testament, and of the continual warfare in the natural. Then we see it here in the spiritual. And then in the physical realm, notice it here in the physical realm. Have you ever wondered why it is that the battles have never been fought over here on American soil in the United States? Have you ever wondered why all the bloodshed is out here in this area and never comes in here into the United States or into the holiest of the holiest? I say this, that the next battle that we have, or the next fight that comes, it won't be fought in the outer courts, but it'll come right on in here in the United States, and the blood will be spilled all in here, right on into the holiest of holiest here, which is typed out by Washington, D.C. So then we see right here that all the battles have been fought out there because we have been able to come from the holiest of the holiest, which is Washington in tights and shatters, come to this margin right here, set up our missiles and stand on the bank of the ocean here and fight across the ocean, send our missiles over, our ships over, and everything that we need to send over there and fight them on their own grounds and cause them to die here in their own areas and spill the blood of their families and their children and so forth. But they've never been able to get in here and do us no harm. I want you to know that Satan, in this time, Satan will come in here. He's working from the outside through the foreign nations, and he's coming right on in here. Already he's got into the United States. You know that. The red dragon, which is likened unto Satan, called communism. It's worked its way in here, and now it's got right on in here into this inner circle, which is in the United States. And now it's set to get into Washington. It's working with our president to try to take over Washington. And when it takes over Washington, it will be a type and a shatter that Satan has entered into the heart. And last night we got it on tape by talk that Satan has entered into the spirit, because Life magazine caring that about the bats showed the light of being contaminated by darkness. So we see he's worked his way all the way through here. God has counteracted him from the kingdom of God. America being a type of it, we've been a religious nation, and Protestantism had always counteracted Catholicism, kept it outside, open to the foreign countries, until we got Kennedy as a president, and we put Catholicism right in here in the holies of holies. It showed that Satan had taken over, that darkness had come in, and that light had gone out. That's how near we are to the end time. We'll have to draw another chart sometime and show it. But anyway, notice this one thing now. We are definitely teaching from this side, which is the BC, right here. Before Christ. We're teaching before Christ. Alright. Then I said 430 years from there around to the law. Now, during this 430 years, God suffered man to do most any way that he wanted to. Even back over beyond that, he said man could walk on in his own ways and his own ideas. If you wanted to get mad, you could get mad. If you wanted to kill somebody, you could kill somebody. If you wanted to knock somebody down, you could knock somebody down. But brother, the Bible said that God suffered every man to walk in his own way. But now it's commanded unto you and I, everybody, that we've got to repent and turn away from our sins. Now, God will not suffer us to do those things anymore, because where there was no knowledge, God was good enough not to require it of us. But now that we have the knowledge of God, God absolutely requires it of us. So then you see here that in this time right here, it was from Abraham to the law, 430 years. Grace came way over here, Abraham. So you know God never gave the law to save us. He gave grace back over here to save us. Now notice this right here. To show you how beautiful it is, grace was given here, but it came all the way over here before it ever became effective. I want you to get that now. These things are paralleled here for a purpose. This shows history repeating itself. History repeats itself about three times, according to my understanding in the Spirit. Three major times it repeats itself. It comes around naturally, physically, and spiritually. God does it three times. And by this chart you can see here, just where we're living, if you watch close. Here in the days of Abraham, God gave him the promise. Now he said the promise was given to Abraham, but the promise could not be fulfilled until it got over here in the AD, which is on the other side of the cross. Gave the promise to Abraham, and the Bible said the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen by faith, spoke on it and witnessed on it. So you see right here that Abraham got the promise here, but God, way over here at Pentecost, fulfilled it by giving the keys to Peter, and Peter stood up and said, this is the promise that God said would come to pass, speaking through Joel, which was along down here somewhere, that in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Now he didn't say he put his Spirit in all flesh, did he? He said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's why I taught this other, that you might understand. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh, but he did not say it would be in all flesh. So then over here with Abraham, the promise was given. Over here, the promise was fulfilled. Right here when Peter came and preached the great message. Remember, these people over here did not get to heaven without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When people tell you a person can go to heaven without the Holy Ghost, you tell them they're wrong. A person, there has never been one individual that's ever entered heaven without the Holy Ghost, and there never will be an individual that will ever enter heaven without the Holy Ghost. Because there's but one Spirit, and that Spirit is the Holy Ghost. Many operations, Paul said, but one Spirit, you can't be saved without the Spirit of God. When I say the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't mean speaking in tongues either. I mean the Holy Ghost. Now then, so then notice this one thing, that these people here, the Bible said, when God spoke to Daniel, which was way over here, he spoke to Daniel and he said, Daniel, he said, thou shalt rest in thy lot before these things come to pass. He said, thou shalt rest in thy lot before these things come to pass. But he told Daniel, he said, as you're speaking to him, speaking to these others, said, they that die under the law can't be made perfect until the promise comes. So then when Peter preached it, Peter said, these over here, having died under the law, seeing the promise afar off, but never was able to get a hold of it, said they could not be made perfect, which means going to perfection or come into the fullness of the stature of Christ for the translation, they could not be made perfect without us. So then, when Christ came and died right here, because these never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then Christ went into the heart of the earth right here, and he preached to the souls in prison, which we have three places here, which shows the separation of body, soul, and spirit. I don't want to go into that tonight because that's another subject we won't get into another night. But he went in here and he brought the Holy Ghost to these that were bound here and released them, and some of them got up out of the grave, walked around through the town, and they saw them when the Holy Spirit came down there. Some of the saints had been dead for years. Could have been Joseph, could have been Jacob, could have been Joshua, any of them. Could have been not Elijah, Elijah was translated, could have been Elisha, any of them. They got up and walked through the town when the Holy Spirit went in there, showing that it was the spiritual resurrection. The Holy Spirit is the spiritual resurrection. How many of you know the Bible said we pass from death unto life if we got the Holy Spirit, our beloved brother? All right, then you see Noah drunk over here, right here where the promise came in, close to it. Over here they accused him of being drunk off of the new wine. Noah come into the new earth, they got drunk off the new wine. Remember, the things that happened here to Noah are exactly the same thing that happened to Jesus. Now, what actually happened with Noah right here? When Noah took that ark, it was built, and there was three compartments, stood upper, lower, and the middle, just like I've got it right here. And he caused the creeping creatures to go into the lower part of it, which indicated the bowels of the earth or darkness, because this world is made into three compartments. It's made into heaven, and it's made into hell, and then the place that's between heaven and earth. So then you see, made the creeping creatures go into the lower parts of it, showing the three different type people. Then in the middle of it, he caused some of the other creatures to go in. It was probably walking creatures. Then in the upper chamber where he was, he must have put the birds and fowls and things like that, because showing the angelic beings, because he must have done that, because he opened a little window in the top of the ark, and he let out a dove and he let out a raven. After the flood was over, remember the ark was made, taken to the top of the mountain, and then when the flood was over, he opened the window and he let out a little dove and let out a little raven. How many remember that? They typed out two spirits, an evil spirit and a holy spirit. Jesus made himself twain right here. Remember, he'd done the very same thing that Noah did. He was the physical ark of God, where Noah was the natural ark. And right here, Jesus let the Holy Spirit go out, which was the dove. He let Satan go out to feed upon the corruption of the world. Get this thought. After that Jesus died, he took away the sins of the world, and the physical earth was completely washed with the water, washing of the water of the Word, that being the Word in human flesh, and the whole new earth was before Jesus. At Pentecost, it showed it right here. After he let the dove out right here, that went to the souls in prison here and ascended in heaven, got up into heaven, got a leaf from the tree of life, came back over here on Pentecost to bring us eternal life, just like the dove did over here in the days of Noah. It was identically the same, and this was a new world, a new physical world. That is, humanity was new. They were made new in the spirit, and everything, every sin was forgiven unto the Christian, and God's foreknowledge way back here was made manifest here, so that the Christian was completely forgiven of his sins, and that was a new physical earth. There was a new physical earth, and everybody was pure and holy. Satan, which was likened to the raven over here, was released to feed off of the people that was dead and dying in corruption. Now, can you get this thought? That when a person is away from God and they're walking contrary to God, they are rotting and they are decaying and turning to corruption and passing away before your very eyes. When you see a cancer in the human body, you see the cancer rotting out the body, you automatically know that it's a type and a shadow of a person with a spiritual wound that is rotting and corrupting and passing away. And before God and in God's nostrils comes the owner of the evil corruption of humanity. So then spiritual corruption is what it is. And he released the raven here to go out and feed off of those that he had turned over to corruption. So Satan really did. He'd been feeding off of them ever since. Over there where he said in the book of Revelation, he said, call all the fowls of the heaven together, which was like one of the evil spirits. And he said, come and feed all of the bodies of rich men and so forth. Gather yourself together for the Lord's Supper, he said. While you're feeding off the corruption of those people, we're going to feed together, me and the saints, yonder, off the Word of God. Need to eat life in the church and do it. He said the church is the same thing. Said inside the church has become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And the holy birds, which is the angelic beings, have been driven out. And Satan and the fallen angel have taken over. But notice right here that it was likened that there was a new earth. After the new physical earth, just as we had the new natural earth, after the new physical earth, and remember when we get to the millennium, go to the new spiritual earth. So after the new natural earth, when it was washed by the water, showing the body, cleansing of the body, then there came a new earth, and the people, Noah got drunk, he planted a vineyard, he got drunk, had a good time, God come and give grace to Abraham, grace to his seed, and so forth. They come on down here and went into the Canaan land, which showed a Sabbath after the first 2,000 years. After the second 2,000 years, it come around all the way around to here, then that went another Sabbath. Noah here, the Pope of Rome took over, ruled this earth, and there become another 1,000 years of reign here, which was the Sabbath to the physical realm. Which was the Catholics, the soul realm. Then after that, William Branham come along, which was the third Messiah of the age. We are supposed to have a millennium of spiritual reign to where we'll do the same thing the Pope done in the Dark Age, and we'll do the same thing that the Jewish people done here. So, it was likened unto it when the Protestants took over to come to America. God give us a type of it right there. So then we see tonight that these things parallel. Now, I can't parallel them all tonight because I won't have time. But you can see that these things parallel. And I want you to notice especially these major things right here. If I give you the major thing, then the rest of you can understand pretty good. Alright, let's just liken it unto the rainbow. Let's say that on this side, God gave us half of the rainbow, which was to the Jews, the covenant. How many of you understand what the rainbow is? Days of Noah, up here, remember he said, I set my bow in the clouds as a covenant, never rain anymore. Never destroy the world. Well, that is not rainbow. Never destroy the world of water anymore, is what it said. All right, up here, that's what happened. He set his bow in the cloud. Then around here, they took and they made a little golden ark. And they put it in the holiest of holiest, put cherubims over it, and they called it the Ark of the Covenant. And they kept it with them wherever they went. All right, round here we got half of the half of the covenant here, which is the rainbow. Then over here, beginning with the church ages, we've got the other half that comes around here, which makes a complete circle of the rainbow. Here we've got the inner circle, which is the spirit. That's why this is imaginary out here. Over here, it's the Jews, which is the body. So we draw the inner circle here, imaginary, which eliminates the spirit on one side and the body on the other side. So then, I parallel this with this that you might be able to understand. Then the time of Jacob's trouble, we get a type of it right here when the apostles was killed out. Over here at 305 A.D., over in the Nicene Council in the city of Nice, they set up Trinity. After that, they killed out the apostles. We bring that out one night too. But over here, you find that Jacob had his trouble here when he went down to Egypt and they give out of corn and everything. And I tell you, we're just missing so much because we're not real spiritual minded. You don't know what you're missing. I'm just hitting a high spot. You ain't hardly getting nothing compared to what God's got for you. But I can't help it. I just have to give you what you draw. All right, right here, Jacob. Notice this. That Jacob here had all of that trouble. And over here it's compared to it over here when all the apostles was killed out. Because of the 12 tribes, that was likened to the 12 spiritual tribes. You heard me speak of the hours of the night. 12 tribes naturally likened to the 12 tribes spiritually. Jacob likened to Jesus had 12 sons likened to the 12 spiritual sons, which was the apostles. Then over here we find Moses coming a deliverer, taking them across the Red Sea and over in the Canaan land, which parallels over here, where Martin Luther raised up and Columbus discovered America, where they went over the ocean into America here. Parallels right there. Then you find Joshua here, moving all the way across over here to parallel Washington, here in the physical, right here, it should be marked right here instead of here. Physical, parallel in the physical, and also William Branham paralleling with it in the spiritual. You've heard me tell how that Brother Branham died on Christmas Eve, being compared with Washington, where he crossed over the river there at Valley Forge when it was so cold. Had to break the ice to go over. And unless you're spiritual, you wouldn't know what I was talking about anyway. But that's what I'm trying to point out, is how Paul said, I'd speak unto you spiritual. But I'm trying to point out how that these parallel. Then you find another parallel right here with Solomon, parallels with Roosevelt, and Roosevelt parallels with Old Roberts and so forth. The natural, physical, and spiritual, you find those three parallel. Now, I didn't get to draw my chart like I wanted to tonight because I was late getting over here and a lot of things I ain't got there. But I'm trying to parallel enough of it tonight to where you can understand what I'm saying. So then Joshua here paralleled over here with Branham, also showing Nehemiah coming back in here in the religious age where he built the walls back to the coming of Messiah, showing here spiritually that they be built back to the coming of the Messiah. And then Solomon here paralleling with Roosevelt and Robert. Now you might say, how do you know that the parallel of the Bible? All right, first of all, the Holy Spirit has showed these things. But the thing is, Solomon in his old age, he lost out with God because he took strange wives. Roosevelt here in the physical realm, which is the middle realm here, he ruled America and was satisfied with being the president of America for a while. But after a while, he wanted the United Nations. He began to take God's money and spend it on strange women, so to speak. Took the foreign nation. Old Roberts did the same thing. He took the Pentecostal church. He was satisfied with the Pentecostal church for a while, but after a while he got a lipstick and all that kind of mess mixed in with it. Began to take the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, and so forth, taking strange life. Well, all of them fell away from God in their old age, showing the parallel there. All the way over to here. Of course, anybody can see that Joshua, here being a type of the Holy Ghost, name meaning Savior and so forth, that he parallels over here with William Branham or with Washington. Washington was known for one thing, and that was to tell the truth. Joshua was a type of the Holy Spirit. Washington was a type of the Holy Spirit. And William Branham was a type of the Holy Spirit. So they're all three parallel in the natural, physical, and spiritual. Over here at the martyr age, when everything was so ruthless, when they spilt the blood of the martyrs, paralleling over down here to showing something of the Red Sea. Then Jordan paralleling up here with the ocean. We just kind of hit the high spots here to give you an idea. Paralleling over here around the ocean experience and show you the crossing of Jordan, being a type there. Moses here running in continuity with Luke and Columbus and so forth. Luke would be over here in the spiritual, Columbus would be out there. As I said, I ain't got my chart made just right. I wished I had it made just right where we could understand better. Then we see the pharaohs over here, the popes here. How did they parallel? Joseph, time of famine, spiritual famine here. How did it parallel over here with this dark age and the time when there wasn't any spiritual food for them to eat? Now, I hope you can see all these things because I'm pushing on through it. You might wonder why, but I lost your interest about 20 or 30 minutes ago, so it's time to close when you do that. But anyway, we're going to let these things go with us tonight. Remember, on this side is BC, on this side is AD, and I wish I could have really got into it like I wanted to. The last chart I taught on this, I must have about 50 minutes on this tape. The last one, it took about an hour and a half or 2 hours, so you know what you're missing. But anyway, last time I was in Carolinas, we had a tremendous drawing of the people who were really spiritual minded. I was able to get across to them. But anyway, we're going to leave it with you tonight. May the Lord bless you. And here we'll close out with this.